I want to thank you guys for those who were praying for me. I needed it, as always. I tend to get nervous, and this is more of a confession, I think, to God. I don't want anything to be hindering this morning, so I'm confessing out to you guys that, you know, just this fear last night came over me of just the weight of this. The weight of this, the weight of this word, the weight of this pulpit, not to be taken lightly, and the enemy was working overtime last night on me, the only thing that I could think of. And I was a blubbering fool, man, and I hope not. I got some, I would preemptively put some tissue up here, so I may be again, but all I could think about last night was the goodness of God. Just what he did, man. What he did on that cross for me. What he did on the cross for you. It just overwhelms me. You know, a lot of times I ask my kids, jokingly, but maybe with an attentive ear, what should I preach from? What should Daddy preach from? Me is usually Revelation. I'm like, okay, let's settle down. Let's settle down here. There's a time and a place. I don't think that's now for me. I was sitting in the car with them, listening to him sing praises to Jesus Christ, looking at a childlike faith and a deep love for this king. And it just sparked my spirit. And as I said last night, this overwhelming feeling of the love of God, that he would separate himself from heaven and come down as a man for me, for all mankind. He said that he so loved the world, the entire world, that he gave his only son. It made me think about my son, and this is not even a good comparison, but it made me think about it, and I believe the Lord was speaking to me. I miss my son, Nicholas. He's up at camp. He's been there for over a month now. And the first week and a half he was up there, he started getting homesick, and we've been messaging him, but he can't really call because he doesn't have good reception there. And so we're messaging him, and we're talking to him, and we're praying in text, and Danny and I are praying with him, and just, I can only imagine what God felt when Jesus came down, because I miss my boy. And I think that that's probably why it's so shown in Scripture, where Jesus constantly comes to prayer with the Father. He wanted to speak with him, to be in his presence with him. He needed Jesus, he needed the Lord, so how much more do we need him? And so this morning, as I was thinking last night and studying, I looked at Ephesians chapter 2. And if you want to turn to that with me. As I was reading this last night, this is where the flood of emotion came over me. It says in verse 1 in Ephesians 2, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. And this is where it changed. This is where God just spoke to me, and I pray that he speaks to you as well. But God. So much weight in those words, but God. Being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, he might show us the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that it is not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them. Now, there's a lot in here, and I'm also going to flip back in a couple minutes. We're going to flip back to Galatians 1 because I want to show you an example of a life changed by Christ. But as I was sitting here and I was reading this and I was pondering on this and I was meditating on the scripture and I'm just praying and looking at this, I know why the enemy was attacking. The enemy was attacking, and it was so hard, I believe, because this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is every single one of us who calls us a believer. He says in verse 1, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world. Listen to that. He's speaking to the Gentiles, right? As Gentiles, he differentiates between you and then we. He says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked. Think about that. Formerly walked. I thank Jesus for what he did on the cross for me because I am no longer a slave to sin, but I am alive in Jesus Christ. I am more than a conqueror. He has done so much for me, and this is a thing that I love about this, is he says that you formerly walked. When we were dead in our sin and trespasses, we walked away from that cross this way. But when God came and he transformed us, we stopped walking in that manner and we started walking for Christ. And I praise God for that because that, as he says, is not a work of myself. I couldn't do that. Myself, I walk this way away from the cross. But with Christ, he draws me towards him. And so as I was reading this, he says, formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That is Satan that he's speaking of. He's kind of tearing us down here a little bit and for good reason. Because in ourselves, we walk in flesh. We walk, and we have to understand this, we walked formerly in the ways of Satan. We need to realize that. Because when we realize that, it makes the cross all the more sweeter. So we formerly walked, but I also love that because there's a truth in that we formerly walked. We no longer walk that way. And that is only by the Holy Spirit's power that we can do that. If we try, we'll try. We may be able to do that for a few months. But how many of you know, as well as I do, that we're good for a little while, and then we slip up, we stumble, and we fall? Right? I'm not the only one, correct? Thank you that somebody was agreeing. I thought I was in a holy rollers club here. But it says, it's that these were the ways of Satan. But I love how Paul is speaking here to the Ephesians. He says, among them, verse 3, among them, we too formerly lived in the lust of our flesh. Think about that. Now he's talking about the Jews, right? We too formerly walked in this way. We lived in the lust of our flesh. We lived in things, we did things that were of the flesh, to fulfill the flesh. I want to go out and I want to drink. I want to, you know, womanize. I want to do whatever it is. There's unspeakable amounts of sin that we can go through. But what he says is we walked in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Think about that. It's not just physical. It's what we ponder on. That's why this is so important, right? To fill our minds with the things of Christ. Not just to do, walk around and do things. That's important. I praise God for what Tony just said, man. It was awesome watching people move and operate in giftings that God has given them this past week with Pastor Bill. But it's not just that. It's what we take in our mind. We have to guard our minds, the word says. Guard our minds. We need to think about the things that we take in, because what we take in comes out. We take in and that stuff corrupts our heart. And what ends up happening with that now? Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we start speaking and doing things that are not of God. But it says here, and again, if not to knock us down, if we were on a pedestal high enough, Paul has a good way of doing that. If we were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. And this is where I want to focus on, because I believe that God wants us to hear this. And I emphasize, but God. And I praise him for those words, because as we flip back and we'll look in Galatians here in a second, those same words are going to be seen as Paul is speaking to the Galatian church about the Judaizers that are trying to pervert the gospel, and he gives us his testimony. And it says, but God, there's transition, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Think about that. His great love, which he loved us, has nothing to do with ourselves. We're not good enough. He's good. He's the one that went to Calvary for us. And it is only by him that we are made good. And so he said, but God, transition, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, there we go, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. It's no wonder why I was overcome with emotion. It's no wonder why. How do we read this book and read this verse and sit there and see a spotless lamb, a spotless, blameless Christ come down and take the sins of us so that we may be reconciled to the Father? Oh, my word, there is nothing greater than that. He is so good. He is so faithful that while we were in the muck and the mire, I think of my own testimony that he did. I was at my lowest point, but that's where I had to be able to for him to lift up my head and gaze upon Christ. And so I look and I say, we were dead in our transgressions. There we go again. But he made us alive together with Christ. Think of that word alive. And this is something that he's really, really been burdening me with. There is a difference, and I can say this for sure, as a former police officer, Brian, you know, Tony, you know, anybody that's been in that type of field knows, medical too, maybe, is... And I apologize to Pastor because I know he doesn't like gross things, and I know he's watching. But when we would respond to somebody who has passed away, Sometimes those people are dead for a long time. And they can attest, and I can attest to you, that there is a foul, rotten stench. Something that you cannot even imagine. I remember my first DOA that I went on. It's my second day on the job, and this person had been dead for over a month. And I go in, and we're looking, and it was awful. It was so bad that, and I'm not going to get into details, but it was so bad that when I got home from work, Danny had to pick me up. When I got home from work, she made me undress outside, and she put my clothes, we were in an apartment at that time, she put my clothes into the washer, and I washed it like 2, 3, 4 times, I can't remember, it was a bunch of times, and it still didn't come out. I had to throw everything away because that stench was on me. And so I look at that, and I think about this, is that death is very noticeable. Any of us who have seen it know that when somebody is dead, we know that they're dead. That woman, a month dead, I had zero doubts that she was dead. But what he talks about here is when we are alive. We are alive in Christ. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace we have been saved. When we are alive, it looks very different from the dead life that we were in. Okay? When we get touched by Jesus Christ and he transforms our life, we look no more like the former self. We are a new creation. Behold, the old things have passed away. They're dead and gone. Behold, I am a new creature in Christ. That verse is one of my favorite verses. It's written on the inside of my ring. Because when Danny and I got married, I was dead. And it took horrible tragedy of my own doing to become alive. And when she gave me this new ring, she wrote in, she had it engraved in there, "Behold, you are a new creature. I am no longer a slave to sin. I am no longer dead in my trespasses. I am alive in Christ." And I tell you this not from boasting. I boast about my God. Let me tell you, this is what drives me. This is why I was weeping last night over these pages, thinking of the goodness of God in my life. I can't sit still. I have to move in Christ. It is dead people sit still. People who are alive move. They're active. They work. And they work for Christ. So when he raised me up, how can I not praise Jesus? How can I not tell people that this is the great, guys, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. When we get good gifts, we share it, right? Man, I got this gift. Look at, maybe it's out of a bad intention, but look at what I got, you know, like especially when we were kids. Look at this thing. It's so cool. Can I play? No, you know. It's my good gift. This good gift was for all of us. How can I not share this gift? How can I not tell people about Jesus Christ? How can I not move in the Spirit when he tells me to go speak to somebody? When he tells me to love on somebody. What Tony said, man, think about what happened. I know this is a little off, but think about what happened. He said, let me repeat this. He said, a young woman came to know the Lord on Friday night. Do I need to repeat that? A young woman came to know Jesus Christ on Friday night. And this is the thing, guys. We need to understand this, man. That's why he came. That's why he came. He came for sinners like her and me and you. And we should be rejoicing like the heavens are rejoicing. We should be moved by the transforming power. It's a T words today. The transforming power of Christ Jesus. Because now we know that that was the purpose of him coming here, was to transform lives so that he may be Lord over their lives. We are the gift to Jesus Christ. Did you know that? God set us apart for him. And so I think about that, and I think about our lives, and that word life, alive. Oh, the things that he wants us to do. I look at, and Tony wrecked my mind with this yesterday when he was up here praying with me on Acts chapter 5. But it's not just Acts chapter 5. It's Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 5, Acts chapter 12. It's through all of this. And not just that, it's Ephesians. It's looking at the imprisonment of Christ's disciples. We are disciples of Jesus Christ. We are going to face hardship and trial. That is something that is guaranteed for us. But they rejoiced in it. They did not fear it. They, as weird as it is, I didn't plan on saying anything about this, but when you go to Acts chapter 5, sorry, give me a sec here. When you look at Acts chapter 5, and they're speaking, this is after Ananias and Sapphira, it says that at the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's portico. That's on the east, that's Solomon's porch. It's on the east side of the temple, okay? And they're in one accord, one spirit, same mindset. And it says, but none of the rest dared to associate with them. However, the people held them in high esteem. That stuck out to me. The people that were with them before this, some of the people that were with them, it says right here, but none of the rest dared to associate with them. But they held them in high esteem. They were like, you guys are great. Well, come with us. Nah, I'm good. I'm good. I'm going to stand back. I'm going to let you guys go. And there was a reason for that. The reason for that is because before that, in Acts chapter 4, as many of you know, I love this chapter. In Acts chapter 4, it says that Peter and John were arrested for doing the exact same thing that they just did. They knew what was coming. They knew that there was tribulation, that there was persecution coming for doing what they were doing. But the disciples didn't care. They went. They're arrested. They're before all of these people. And the high priests are telling them, you're trying to put this man's blood upon us, which is interesting because in Matthew 27, 25, before Pilate, what they asked for was, we want Barabbas. You guys remember that? We want Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. And then he says, well, what should I do with this man Jesus? Crucify him. He washes his hands of this. Says, he's an innocent man. You do with him what you want. And they said, his blood is on us and our children. That's what they said. Now you look at it and it says, what? You, talking to the disciples, are trying to bring his blood upon us. No, you wish for this. This is what you wanted. So what they do is they tell him, do not preach. Sorry, this is just kind of a quick overview of this, but do not preach in the name of Jesus. You cannot speak in his name. What does Peter do? But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you have put to death. This sounds a lot like Acts chapter 4. He's laying it out clearly. Guys, this is what you did. We cannot shut our mouths to Jesus. We are going to proclaim the truth of Christ. And that's what I was getting at. And it was funny because, not funny, but it says, Gamaliel ends up giving his advice. If they're of the world, they're going to be put down. If they're not, then you'll find yourself fighting against God. You know who Gamaliel was? You know who his understudy was? Paul. The Apostle Paul. And it's said in some, I haven't read it, but I've heard it said in multiple sources that one of the things that he said about Paul was that Paul was a man who loved to read. Loved to read. Give me the scrolls. He even says it, I think, in Timothy, where he says, give me the scrolls and this, you know, and all these things. He was a man who loved to read. So Gamaliel gives them this thing, and so what they do is they have him flogged. And it says in verse 41, so they went on their way from the presence, this is the disciples of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. And here it is. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching. So the Judaizers were Jews. What they were doing was they were Jews who believed in Christ and were trying to marry the two together. It was the Jesus and group. It's you're saved by Jesus and following the Mosaic law. That's what they believed. And specifically the circumcision. So this is what these people believe. And so he goes through this and he really rebukes them for this view because he says that this is not what we have taught you. And then he gives this defense of his ministry, and this is where I really want to focus on in this last part of this. I want us to focus on this. In verse 11, Paul defends his ministry, and he says, "For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught of it, but I received it through the revelation of Jesus Christ." He says, for you have heard of my former manner. We'll get back to that as he talks about this in here. But actually, let me just say something on that. What he's not saying is that Scripture isn't important. This stuff wasn't written, right? What he's saying is that I sought Jesus. I didn't go to listen to man. I went to the source. That's what he's saying. And I believe this with all of my heart. Teachers and preachers have a purpose in the body of Christ. It is a gift of the Spirit. All of the gifts of the Spirit are working in the church for what? Edification, to build up the body. There's a purpose for teaching and preaching. I'm not knocking that. But what I am saying is that a lot of times we can get so reliant upon a pastor, upon a YouTube video. I've been caught in this. What does he say? I follow Apollos. I follow, you know, all these things. You know, maybe some of me have said, I follow Christ. It's we tend to gravitate towards people. And he sits there and he says, I didn't learn this that way. I went to the source. We have to understand and rely. Now we have it even better because we have the Holy Scripture and we have the Spirit of God to teach us. If I were to sit there and go off and be in jail, can the Spirit of God still teach me? You better believe it. If they burned up every Bible on this earth, every single one, would God still be able to teach us? That's right. So count it a blessing that we have this. Don't neglect this word. Get into the word. Get into prayer. That's what Paul did. Paul knew the scriptures better than anybody else. But he got with Christ. He got with God. He prayed. When you look at his testimony, as we're going to read, and you look at Acts chapter 9, in his testimony, the thing when Ananias, when it says that he was like, oh, I know that Paul guy. I don't want to go and visit him. What does Jesus say to Ananias in the vision? It says, you will know him because he sits there, he's blind. I've given him a vision of you, and he prays. It was like the mark of the Christian. He prays. This is how you will know who he is. You will find him praying. And so you look, Paul says in 13, for you have heard of my former manner of life. There it is again, former. How I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. He was murdering the church. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. Sometimes we got to let traditions die. And we got to let God take over. We got to go strictly on what the word says. I'm sure I'm not the only one that's been learning this through their Christian walk. That I'm listening to this guy, I'm listening to this guy, I'm listening to this guy. And then I start realizing that I'm getting traditions from them. And I'm not getting traditions from the word. I'm not sticking to the word and what the word actually says. It's changed my life. He showed that to me years ago. Why? Stop. You know, it's good. They're teaching and all this stuff, but we all have traditions. We've all grown up in certain places. I was unchurched. Some of you guys have been church for your entire lives. Some of you guys don't know life without church. And some of you have had pastors that have sat there and said, well, if you do this, this is wrong. Where? Don't worry about their traditions. Worry about what the word says to us and root it out in scripture and have the Spirit speak through the word to us and let us know what is right and what is wrong. Amen? If we do that, there will be unbelievable power in the church. Unbelievable. So anyway, so we're going, and he says that I was extremely zealous, my ancestral traditions. Here we are in 15. But when God, there it is again. I wrote in my Bible years ago, I can't even remember, April 21st, 2008, that was my turning point. That's when he reached down from heaven and plucked me out of the muck and the mire, and he placed me on the solid rock and foundation, who is Christ Jesus. And my life has never been the same, and I praise God for that. And it says, but when God, who had set me apart even from my mother's womb, think about that. He knew even from then what he was going to do, and called me through his grace and was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. That was a specific calling for Paul. I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus. He went to be alone with God. I think that we need to do this a lot more. I remember, well, it wasn't funny at the time. I was pretty mad, but I remember when my wife, she was like, man, you are just nasty. And I was already saved, so this is bad. But she was like, you're just yelling at us, yelling at the kids. Just nasty. So she said, you're leaving. I was like, wait, what are you talking about? You know, and she was like, I've rented you a cabin in Amishville with no electricity, no running water. And I'm just going to say something. At that time, I wasn't as outdoorsy as I am now. This was pretty early on. Now I don't care. But they had a double outhouse. And the amount of spiders that were in there, I drove to the gas station every night. Like, I ain't doing that. But no running water, no electricity. Alone by myself with God. Sometimes we have to get alone with the Father. Because it's only him. We need to stop looking for other things to fill us. Weird example, and I've mentioned this a little while ago. Weird example is I was watching, and don't throw stones at me, okay? I was watching the Bucks play. And I don't really care about basketball, but I was like, it's the Bucks, and they're the underdog, so that's good. I'm going to watch them. And I was happy that they won. I'm going to preface this with this, okay? I was happy that they won. But one of the things that stuck out to me the most with that win was as soon as they won, probably not even 5 minutes later, I watched Giannis walk around the court, and I watched him go up to, who's the other guy? Middleton? We'll be praying for you. You shouldn't know that well. So walk up to Middleton, and the first thing he says to him is, we're going to do this again next year. We need to do this again next year. And I sat there, and the Lord spoke something deep to me. He said, you see, that stuff is fleeting. There's no contentment in that. You haven't even been a world champion for 5 minutes, and you're already thinking about doing it again. But see, this, that in here is everlasting. We are sealed with the Spirit of God. Nothing can pluck us out of the hand of God. We are secure in Christ Jesus, and that never fades. That's why I can sit here and I can continually talk and boast about my God. Why? Because he's constantly on my thoughts and on my heart and on my mind. All I want to do is talk about Jesus. I remember this happened to me, and I'm going to keep names out, but I just remember having a conversation, and I'm sitting there with people who are Christian. I'll just say that. And I remember sitting there, and I'm young in my faith, and Tony and I, we were hanging out, our families were hanging out a lot, and this is before he had 17 kids, and so we were hanging out a lot, and the thing that I love, if any of you guys know me, we can talk basketball, well, not basketball, we could talk baseball, we could talk football, we can do those things. That's not my heart. I want to talk about Jesus. I want to talk about what God's doing in your life, because that invigorates me. That spirit speaking to spirit and unifying us. And I remember saying that. I was like, man, I just love having conversations with Tony. I just love, like, we just sit there and we get in scripture, and it's like, you know, people probably would look at us because we're like flipping through all this stuff and like, oh man, but did you see this? And oh, did you see that? And it was just like, you know, craziness. And the response that I got was troubling to my spirit. We got laughed at. I got laughed at. And they said, yeah, sure you do. I'm sitting there and I go, what? Am I lying? It's still the same way. I want Jesus because he's been good to me, because he's shown me. He's shown me the glories of his riches. I'll talk about other things, but that's not the desire of my heart. The desire of my heart is Christ. And that's why I want to talk about him day and night. How are people going to know if we don't bring the gospel to them? We're charged. It's the only reason that we're left here, guys, is so that we can proclaim Christ crucified so that they may come to salvation. What a great privilege that is for us. And so I look at these passages. I look at what God had been speaking to me, that but God moment, that transforming moment, that moment where we just come and he takes away all the sins that we have ever committed and ever will commit. And he brings us back he brings us into his fold. And he says, you are now mine. I can't tell you how good that felt for me. I come from a family, Mexican and Italian, so we're loud and hot-blooded and whatever else. But we love, and we love fiercely. We love each other. Family is everything. But even with that, I've never felt anything like this. I felt a love that was, and I love my parents, mom and dad, if you're there watching. I love them. I love my brother, my sister. I love my cousins. But when God saved me, and he started opening up my mind to the depth of his love for me, it is unreal. To think that he would watch and want a sinner like me. And not just that, but not only want and watch, but that he would say, Adam, go. I am going to use you to glorify myself and my kingdom. That's why we can't sit down. We can't sit idly by. That's why he says we are made alive in Jesus. We are made alive to share this wonderful news. And so I don't know. I don't even know what time it is. I don't know how I don't even know what 10:51 means, if that's late or early. I don't know. Is the worship team here? Tony, you're here? Is Danelle here? You guys mind coming up or go grab her? One thing that I believe that the Lord was speaking to me through this is listening to the testimony of the Apostle Paul here, and kind of some of my testimonies that I've shared a little bit today. Testimonies are a great thing. They're made to encourage the body of the things that God is doing in our lives. How many of us have been moved by a great testimony, right? We all have. Why? Because it's us simply speaking and testifying about the goodness of God. It's all it is. And so, if the Lord leads, I just want to open it up. If you need prayer, if you need to speak and praise God, that's really what I was getting at is to testify of the goodness of the things that God is doing in our lives. I look out, there's, I don't even know how many people, but however many people there are in here, there is a room full of testimonies of what God is doing. And as we spoke about glorifying God, Jamie was speaking, raising up the name of Jesus and doing this. That's what I think we need to do here today. We need to encourage one another. We need to speak praises to Jesus. So I'm going to open it up. If God is doing something or has done something that you just want to share, and also one thing too, guys, we've got to remember that sharing the testimony of God, it doesn't have to be this extravagant thing in our own minds, because we need to remember that every testimony is the same. We were brought from death to life. And so this is what I want to remind you guys. If he's doing something, please share and encourage the body of Christ, because you never know who may need to hear that word. Don't stifle that. Share with what Christ is doing, because what you're going through or what you've been through, or maybe you're still in, he may have not even delivered you, but just that faith of you in his word and in his presence and still seeking out God in the midst of that trial may give somebody here hope to not give up, to know that Christ is good and that he will never leave us, he will never forsake us. That is said in so many different areas of scripture. It's crazy. He will not leave us. He is here for us. So if any of you guys have something, it's open. If any of you guys need prayer, let's come together as a body. Don't be ashamed or afraid. Let's come together and pray for one another. There is power in prayer. Jesus hears the prayers of his people. I have seen that, and I will testify after my brother Brian testifies. I will testify of the seeing and of the waiting.